And here we continue the lecture of the last half hour on this list of important items and subdivisions of the book. These important items, of course, as they go into the book, are, of course, the major heads are attention, duplication, imagination, problems, granting of beingness, cycles, considerations, mechanics, and ARC. And picking it up here at cycles, we discover that the whole problem of time is a problem in cycles. Time is also a problem in havingness, but that's under mechanics. Here we have the consideration of the basic idea that things are created, then they persist, and then they are destroyed. And this is the cycle of action on which this particular universe is very solidly built. Possibly you could have a cycle of action which would run something like anything that persists will get created. Or any way you wanted to change considerations around to run this. So it isn't the only cycle of action. By the way, this is the oldest part of Scientology. This part, as far as I know at this time, is 8,250 years old. That's fairly old. It was finally written down about 3,500 years ago and has drifted down to us as, I don't remember exactly which hymn it is. It's the second or third hymn of the Vedic hymns. And isn't it also in the hymn to the Dawn Child? This is a fascinating thing. The cycle of action in there is stated that things are created and born and then grow and live and decay and die. And this observation is probably one of the very few valuable observations that a man had as part of his heritage. And it was a valuable observation. That, in the first place, it was a simple observation. And it was, however, not one of these, an obvious observation that everybody knows. People just sort of live this one. They don't know it at all. They just sort of wander into life and fumble along in it and fade out of it. They get very surprised when they discover at the age of 60 that they are old and going to pieces. This is a great surprise to them. They do no prediction on this whatsoever. You talk about other determined handling. You certainly have an example of it in, for instance, the cycle of action as applied to a man. We go out here and we discover a boy of 20, and we talk to him. Well, boys of 20 are 20, and they have always been 20, and they will always be 20. And that's that. And we discover a man of 72, and we discover that he has gone so far past destruction already. He's hardly there. Maybe he's senile already, you see. And he's talking about being a young boy. He's trying to rerun his cycle. His effort is at all. And yet he has no recognition of the fact that he himself has a position on the cycle. He is not yet destroyed. He doesn't position himself with regard to this. That's so firm here because it applies to bodies. It doesn't necessarily apply to anything else in the meshed universe. It is very solidly part of bodies. It is just because bodies run that way is no reason why the meshed universe runs that way. Now, that's a very, very important thing. And the Vedic hymn goes on a very correct statement on this, which is birth, growth, lives, decays, dies. And that's all in terms of bodies. Now, as long as bodies do this, then people try to stick the whole universe straight through with this cycle, and as beings have progressed along in this cycle, you find out practically every living thing in this universe has this as a consideration. It's really not part of the universal consideration, because this universe was not necessarily created. New thought. It observably is persisting, but only so long as you keep on looking at it. And as far as its death is concerned, it may never die. It may never be destroyed. Built into this universe is conservation of energy. And as far as the structure of the universe is concerned, there's only one thing there, and that's persist. Nuclear physicist is always running into this one head on. The physicist knows it full well, that every atom and molecule in this universe is built to persist. It is not built to create, and it's not built to destroy. It is man which uses these things to create new things and destroy old things. But when we've done all this, we still have the basic chaos. And that chaos is the chaos with which we started and the chaos with which we'll finish. And there's just no more to it than that. It doesn't have a time factor. This universe is not running on a time factor. It'll change form, but it doesn't appear and disappear as such. It is an agreed upon thing, which is to say, it persists. And if you talked about agreements, that is the first thing you would get as a condition of agreement, a persistence, because that is what is agreed upon. That's the only reason you would agree upon anything either, to get it to persist. Now, agreement then leads into more and more and more and more persistence. We just get, the more agreement there is, you don't necessarily have more reality, but you sure get more persistence. So we have a universe which is going to a totality of persistence. Let's not make a mistake on this as an auditor. I've stated this elsewhere and many times, and I haven't given it in a lecture careful consideration. I just sort of got into apathy about trying to make the thing stick. But right now, I'll haul back on my haunches and try to bring this thing home. This universe is departing equally from create and destroy and arriving from those two ends of the cycle of action at persist. And that is the cycle of action of the messed universe. You fall away from create and destroy to a point where you get total persistence. And that's, quote, the end, unquote, of this universe, total persistence. Grim picture. Your individual then becomes more and more, as he agrees more and more with the messed universe, he just gets more and more persistent. He doesn't get destroyed. That's what's wrong with him. And you get him when he's really totally persisting, he's ready to blow his brains out. Any condition which comes up will totally persist. Now that's the end of cycle as far as the messed universe is concerned. So the end of cycle of the messed universe, I say this carelessly from time to time, you'll hear me say this carelessly, but it's a very careless statement. I think about the only one I'm really guilty of, and that's because people are so thoroughly agreed upon this create-destroy cycle. Just to get a communication, I just keep it up, see? And we get into this situation where I say, well, the cycle of action of the messed universe is create, survive, destroy. All right, that's true enough. But it's strictly from the viewpoint of a body. That's strictly from a body's viewpoint. Actually, the cycle of action of the messed universe, if you want to get awfully technical, is to get less creative and less destructive and finally survive forever. If you drew it as a curve, you'd have to fall away from both ends of a curve. Actually, what you'd have to do here is to draw it as a curve, you would draw a thing that kind of looked like a loop, you know? It'd go out here, and it'd go over and back again. And here at the start, we would have both create and destroy. And at the final peak of the curve, we'd get survive. But that would then say that there's a finiteness about this curve. And that's the trouble with this curve, is there's no finiteness about it. As you drew this double line, one leading from we'll take the beginning, and at the beginning we find create and destroy, and we draw this line, and this line from create goes on forever, but it merges down the line a little ways, starts to merge, you might say, with the line from destroy. And the line from destroy then would go on, and it gets closer and closer to the line to create, and then the two amalgamated more closely and more closely just go on for an infinity series. There is no end on this series. And that is the curve of the mesh universe, if you want to dignify it by calling it a curve. The cycle of action of a body, however, is create, survive, destroy, or birth, live, die. And these two things should be understood by an auditor, because you get a case which is very bogged down in the physical universe and is in its valence very thoroughly. Boy, all he's going to do is persist. And if you don't understand this, you'll wonder what the devil you are doing as an auditor. You're not getting a change in this preclear. If you're not getting change in him, boy, he's way up there on that persist curve. So you better get him into a situation where he can create and destroy. Well, there are many ways to run cycle of action. Most of those ways, when devoted to bodies, are very successful. And they work this way. You get the body dying from something and have it finish off and become bones and then become dust and then become nothing. And then just do this over and over and over and over. You duplicate it, in other words. You could have the endocrine system utterly dependent upon drugs and so forth if you wanted to. You could get anything the fellow has ever depended upon and run it as a cycle of action and finish it off to a finality of death. And this would work out the facsimiles. But the point of the case is that the Thetan does not need this covert a means of processing the body. And if you were going to process this at all, one way or the other, we would simply take the whole problem of survival and 8D and drop it under that heading. Boom, just that, like that. Anything 8D, whether done by straight wire, such as the next last list, self-analysis addressed to a specific person, or where would Mama be safe? Another place Mama'd be safe. Where would Mama find you safe? Where would you find Mama safe? Where would Mama find you safe? Any type of command of this character carried on would spring apart two universes because you're solving the problem of senior survival. And for some reason or other, life considers survival senior. And whatever reason or other this is, all boils down to the fact that it just considers this in the final run, and you're on a basic consideration which evidently is appended to no earlier consideration, which makes it a very effective technique and a very effective thing. Now, we've gone down to the basic consideration where bodies and life is concerned when we have gone to the consideration survive. We're on the basic consideration. It does not have appended to it an earlier consideration. There's no earlier consideration than this. In other words, this one then cleans up. It's got no basic law underlying it. It is basic on the track. Hence, we get a process like 8D. Hence, we get universes springing apart. And this is an interesting manifestation, but remember that comes under cycle of action. And if you know these kinds of cycles of action, know the difference between cycle of action of the messed universe and the cycle action of a body, you will see why a body gets into severe trouble as soon as it gets over into the valence of the messed universe. In other words, gets into where it is a problem, not the solver of problems. The main problem, the basic principle of existence may be survive, but it's also the basic problem of existence, survival. And people are trying to survive who can't do anything else but survive. And the main problem is that things keep on surviving when you want them to stop surviving. And so survival itself, rather than good survival or bad survival or so forth, is the basic problem. As I say, hence 8D and hence cycle of action. Now we get into considerations, that section under considerations. And there are a great many subdivisions to this, but actually none of them are important as subdivisions. Because when we say consideration, we mean just that, a consideration. A consideration is something which may or may not lead into an agreement, which may or may not lead into a command, but is a variety of postulate, which is simply that one considers and arrives with a consideration. That's the end product. Now, that can go into a command, that can go into an agreement, which then becomes a survival condition. See, any time anything gets agreed to, it has a tendency to survive. As a matter of fact, the mechanism of survival itself is get it agreed to. And We discover that considerations have as their subheads such things as significances, purposes, reasons, which include goals, which again includes time. An individual has goals as long as he considers he can have goals. And he considers he can't have goals, then he can't have goals. I mean, in the final analysis, we are handling here in considerations the most volatile part of processing itself, because considerations do not have location in space, in time, and it is only when they have gotten locations in space and time that they become pinned down, and the individual then is fixed with his own considerations, as Shakespeare said, hoist with his own petard. And with a big boom like that, an individual is, of course, surviving. But what's surviving? The most basic survival of anything would be next to the life unit itself, which can't do anything else but survive, would be this simple ingredient here, consideration. When you get considerations to survive, then an individual is in a situation where he has pre-postulates all the time. He tries to make up his mind about something. He can't make up his mind about that thing because he has a pre-consideration about it. You say, now, why don't you make up your mind to be well? And, boom. There are two, I think, November the 17th, some such date, 1952 lecture, Wichita, covers this subject, oh, but widely. It beats it to death. It is a two-hour lecture. It's in two parts there, an hour in each part. And in one of them, it says, actually, all you have to do is just make up your mind to be self-determined. No, it says more basically, there is no reason why you could not make up your mind to be self-determined and then thereafter be self-determined. No real reason to prevent this that a fellow could observe. And therefore, really, probably all you'd have to do is just make up your mind to be self-determined and then be self-determined. The second hour is devoted exclusively to why this doesn't take place. And more people listened to that first hour and picked it up and spread it around, and nobody ever listened to the second hour. I guess it was just too antipathetic to them or something of the sort. It also talks about the governor or speed factor of the individual. It talks about a lot of things. But what was happened after that, for about a year, we had a lot of squirrels going around saying, one of the phrases that came out of that was, that's your reality. They went around insulting everybody with this. And all I'm going to do now is I'm self-determined on this subject, and I've decided I'm self-determined on this subject, and if you cross me up, I'm going to kill you. This was the type of activity which they were indulging in there for a while. I am a self-determined individual. All you have to do is make up your mind to be self-determined. One of the boys who was processed on this process has rather an amusing history. Show you how far out this could go on the groove. He thought all he had to do was make up his mind to be self-determined. At least that was what his auditor told him, and probably when he was kind of hand in ten, so he did. And then he went on and became very, very self-determined, and he issued several pamphlets on the subject and quite a few lectures on the subject. Then he went out to, I think, Colorado Springs. He opened up quite an establishment out there. He knew something, some vague knowledge of electronics, not very good, but certainly dramatic. And he carried on there. He attracted quite a little bit of capital to him, actually. I know of many thousands of dollars that were sent through to him on this basis. He carried on for quite a while. And then, because he was utterly dependent, actually, for continuance of his operation upon many of the people who were in his vicinity, and particularly upon people who had money, who inevitably, by the way, unable to keep up ARC with an individual, are liable to get mad at you one way or the other. He had a falling out, and one of the chaps he had a falling out with in another town, a Kansas town, pulled the rug out from underneath him by the single discovery that this individual, who had been calling himself a doctor all this time, did not have a doctorate degree and was not a doctor of anything. And the police investigated and were very upset, and he finally said he would be a very good boy and go back to the university. So he went back to the university, and his whole staff went back with him to the university. And after he got back to the university, I guess he didn't settle down to his studies or anything of the sort, but he has now started into the field of psychotherapy again, using some kind of Gestalt or CO2 or completely off this other basis, and has joined the Catholic Church and processes with a votive lamp burning brightly above the preclear's head. This is the an interesting little case history. Here was a misunderstood communication, actually in the form of a lecture. It goes out like mad, runs away with itself, falls all over everything, and winds up with just one person, possibly many, with this kind of a cycle of action. Interesting. The main difficulty here is, of course, a break in communication. The communication was not fully delivered because it was not received. It's kind of obvious, isn't it? So when you start playing around with considerations, you run into dynamite, because the individual fixes considerations in time and space. He has considerations sitting all over New York City. He has them sitting all over any other town he's ever been near. He's made up his mind about this, and he's made up his mind about that, and of course, being agreed upon all the way down the line. This fellow would have been all right if so many people hadn't agreed with him so quickly. And he needed agreement, by the way, to continue in life, and so he was fixed with his own consideration on this. And his own consideration was that all he had to do was be self-determined, and that got fixed all over the place. So, of course, he couldn't do anything else but practically spin in before he finally got through. Because if being self-determined was persisting on the course which he was in, he had to persist on a course of being self-determined, which would put him out of communication with incoming communications to some degree. Have a lot of interesting side panels. But when we get down to considerations, we find out the main trouble with these considerations at large. That an individual has run in another factor with every one of these considerations he's made in this universe. And that is, it must persist. See, I now consider this, and his second consideration appended onto it as a sort of a footnote is, to resist all effects. I consider this, now this consideration is going to resist all effects. And so you get machines, and you get all sorts of bric-a-brac growing out of this. You get the fixed character, then, of this universe, and the fixed character of your preclear's ideas. Now he starts to change, and he starts to run into one of these old considerations. And now he's trying to change against earlier considerations, which, of course, would make him wrong. Which would make him other determined to himself. You can see this. And so we get the main difficulty with considerations. Is it true that these considerations are strung out on a time track? No, they're not. That's part of the consideration. See? And they're not strung out. You can process a preclear just on the fact that he is the beginning of everything. And you get one of the most interesting results in terms of single freak processes, which is utterly unstable, that you would care to look at. Just process him on the basis, in any way, shape, or form that you could dream up on that one basic, that he is the beginning. And you could also process him, he is the end of everything. But just process him in such a way as you're defying time. You see, that process does not process toward truth. There is no beginning, there is no end, save as one considers there is. And thus, if you were to process somebody on the basis that he was to consider that he was the beginning, you would, of course, hit the beginning consideration on the track, because it is the beginning. But, of course, all the considerations he has ever made are at the beginning, and they are all at the end, and they're all at the middle, too. There isn't any time span between these considerations. The main thing which has ceased to be differentiable on the part of the preclear are his considerations. He no longer knows what he thinks about anything. This indicates an enormous number of processes. There are tremendous numbers of processes that can stem from this. In fact, all of Scientology can stem from this with great ease. And one of the processes that you could hand out something like this would be, by the way, this is an effective process. You ask him, if you had an opinion, who would agree with it? What kind of an opinion would somebody agree to? What sort of an opinion could you have all by yourself that nobody else would have to agree to? All right, now let's try and see if you can get an idea or about a consideration of or an opinion of a window. Not different than anybody else's or the same as anybody else's, but just an opinion of a window that you know is your opinion. Now an opinion of the door. Now an opinion of the floor. Now an opinion of the ceiling. Now an opinion of the ground. See how far we could go on this. Or you could just have an individual sit there and put significances into things. At first, he'd take them out. You'd think he was putting them in, but he's really pulling significance out of things. And then after a while, he begins to stick them into things. And he can go on at the most terrific rate of sticking significances, reasons, goals, purposes, and so forth, all subdivisions of considerations themselves, into things. He can start giving things goals. And you get a remarkable change of case. All right, let's get a goal now for that blackboard. And another goal for it, 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 and another one, and about this time he wants to blow his brains out because his bank isn't talking to him anymore. And the next thing you know, though, he'll have to invent something, and we've gone back and re-stimulated his imagination. We've also broken down a lot of agreements and also the scarcity of consideration. Now, you can have him mock up thousands of people agreeing with him about the most ridiculous things, and you'll break the basic consideration that he has to be agreed with. Have them all agreeing with him that he has green ears, foolish considerations, and so on, and you'll break the whole idea that he has to have agreement before he can have a reality. All right, and then we get into mechanics. And, of course, we cover mechanics at very great length. Mechanics consists of scales. The whole section of mechanics is quite big. Consists of scales. That's the chart of human evaluation, the chart of attitudes, the tone scale, the notosex scale, and these other scales which we use from time to time, the sub-zero tone scale. All of these scales and their usefulness are used. Then we have space, which is a viewpoint of dimension. We have energy. We have havingness. We have facsimiles, engrams, secondaries, mock-ups, and reality itself. That is to say, the physical universe. This is what we normally consider reality, and all that is subdivisible under that. Those are mechanics, but they are only mechanics, and they fall below the level of any-day considerations. And now we go into ARC. And, of course, that is affinity, reality, and communication, the triangle thereof. And we get under communication, cause, effect, and the communication effect of duplication. Under reality, we get, as a main subsection, agreement, disagreement, and dependency upon agreement, which I've just been talking to you about. And then under affinity, we get the various emotional states and effort states of people versus people, and thinkingness states, people versus people. Affinity can be characterized all up and down the notosex scale. There's a position for affinity all the way up and down, a position for reality, and a position for communication. And the whole ARC triangle is, wonderfully enough, the whole subject of understanding. ARC is understanding. And so we have a breadth of understanding or a very narrow understanding. The ARC triangle at the bottom of the scale is dwindled to almost, but it never gets there. It goes by halves, you understand, and it never arrives at its destination. It gets to a point where it's just solid. It's solid. It's that compact, and it will just become more solid. It will never disappear. What's one proviso? If it got made into an atom bomb, it would change its form again. Because that is matter which has gotten so solid, it can no longer tolerate that solidity and so explodes. Now, we have, in addition to that, the definitions and axioms, which are more or less as the definitions and axioms were way back in 52. Handbook for Preclears gives them. This, in essence, then, with the processing section, which takes care of the processes which handles this, is more or less the shape and size of this book I've been mentioning, The Elements of Scientology. And much more important to you, it is the elements, really, of this course and what this course is covering at some breadth and how they are handled.